So let's now go to our message this morning. I thank the Lord for giving me another privilege to stand before you, my brethren, and share the Word of God. Can we just bow down again our hearts before God? Lord, as we sit down before you this morning, we humble our hearts, Lord, to acknowledge you as the most holy God, almighty, faithful, merciful, and true. We thank you, Lord, for arranging our circumstances that you brought us here at this place, at this time, to hear your words preached. Because you have a high and lofty purpose in our lives, Lord of God. And so we thank you. Lord, give us hearts that are willing to listen. Not only willing to listen, but also willing to apply whatever truths you want us to understand and grasp, Lord of God. So that our lives, Lord, can be holy and acceptable before you. We ask, Lord, that you accomplish your purposes, Father, this morning, in our lives, in our church, Lord of God. Lord, Holy Spirit, be our enabler this morning. Be our teacher. Inspire us, Lord of God, to hear your words, Lord. Lord, I ask also help from you, because unworthy as I am, only by your grace that I am able to stand before these precious souls, Lord of God, and deliver your message. And so, Lord, we entrust to you our time together. Let your name be magnified and be honored once more in the preaching of your word. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, I came across a very sad story. It is about a husband who is devastated, dejected, and perplexed because his wife of more than 20 years filed a divorce and he was caught by surprise. All the while, he thought their marriage was okay. There was some misunderstanding, problems, and fights. But they were all well within the bounds of a normal relationship, as far as he thinks. So he tried looking for answers why this is so. But it only exasperated him. And then finally, it dawned on him that the reason for the divorce was not about him. The wife said that for over 20 years, all that she did was to be a good, caring wife and mother, and that she sacrificed her years caring for and providing for the needs of her husband and their children. And now that the children have finished school, landed good jobs, and are already on their own, it's time for her to take her life back. Finally, she can take care of herself and pursue dreams that are difficult while she is tied up to a growing family. It's time to move on and focus on herself and her needs. This is a very sad story, right? I wish it wasn't true, but it happened. I met the man for some time. I tried to minister to him, but, you know, he moved on. The wife's decision broke the heart of the husband and the people that are dear to her. You see, we can find ourselves condemning that wife in our hearts. But if we're going to be honest, my dear brethren, this morning, we can be like her in our service to the Lord. Especially when our sacrifices are seemingly not being reciprocated nor recognized. Or when we are not being tapped on the back for a service we rendered. We feel tired as though our Christian faith has grown stale and that we are withering on the vine when we would rather be flourishing in His service. Amen po ba? Please don't raise your hand, but I'd like to ask, sometimes do you feel like this? I've been serving the Lord, nobody notices me, di ba? It's a thankless job. Sometimes we feel that, right? But brethren, this morning, I would like to bring to you that we need to go back to the truth that you are far more blessed beyond compare, more than anyone else. Because you are recipients of God's multiple, unimaginable mercies. Yes, my dear brethren, we serve the Lord as a response to what He did, securing our glorious standing before Him. We are recipients of God's lavish mercy that resulted in our salvation. This is our motivation for sacrificial, transformed, and exemplary service. The mercies of God. And if I'm going to entitle my preaching to you this morning, my dear brethren, is this: exemplary service. Exemplary service. And this is taken from the book of Philemon, verses 4 to 7. Book of Philemon, verses 4 to 7. Now, what are these mercies that I'm talking about? Of course, this is not exhaustive. Okay? What are these mercies that we receive lavishly from God? Justification from guilt and penalty of sin. We are no longer considered enemies of God. We are justified before Him. Freed from the penalty of sin. We receive adoption in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are identified with Him, co-heirs of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now placed under grace, no longer law, which we can never accomplish. Di ho ba? We are given the Holy Spirit to live within us, to empower us, to enable us to do the deeds that God required of us. What are these mercies, mga kapatid? We are given the promise of help in all afflictions and trials. We are given the assurance of a standing in God's election. Ano pa po? We are given the confidence of coming glory no matter what happened. Do you even imagine what this glory that awaits us, my dear brethren? Paul, in his all eloquence and yung kanyang pagiging poet, if you read his letters, di ho ba, mamamangha ka, you will be amazed of how he is so rich in words, di ho ba. But when the Lord take him up to the third heaven and show him the glory that awaits the believers, there is no human word enough to describe what he saw, di ho ba. That what awaits us, the glory that is reserved for us by God. And there's more than that. The glory of God Himself, which is beyond words and comparison, when we finally see God. That's what awaits us, my dear brethren. And we have that confidence, no matter what happened in this life, we will have that glory. We have confidence of no separation from the love of God. We know that. Di ho ba? Not even us can separate us from the love of God. Not even Satan himself can separate us from the love of God. And we have this confidence assurance of God's continued faithfulness. Those are some of the mercies that we receive lavishly from God, di ho ba? So we are far more blessed than anyone else in this world. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Yes, my dear brethren. Sino po dito ang believer? Can you please raise your hands? Sige po, praise God. No, lahat po tayo dito believers. Yung mga nagtaas ng kamay, yung mga hindi ko nakita nagtaas, baka hindi, no? Eh, mga kapatid, each one of us, if you are a believer in Christ, is called to exemplary service to the one who bestowed all these mercies to us, mga kapatid. And if we are to be like Jesus, that is our goal, to be conformed to our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are to be like Him, our aim in life should be to serve God. And it should intensify in quality and quantity as we mature in our Christian faith. And this morning, I would like us to look at the life of a person who exemplified this truth as a follower of Christ. And this is my challenge for each one of you this morning. As we study this short passage, I challenge each of you to reflect and somehow assess your life to His life and strive diligently by the grace of God to emulate this person. Please open your Bible in Philemon, verses 4 to 7. Philemon, verses 4 to 7. Please go with me as I read our passage this morning. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Verse 7 po. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Praise God for the reading of His word, my dear brethren. Before we delve into the study of this passage that we have for this morning, please allow me to just discuss to you the short background of the book of Philemon. Paul is the one who wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome, together with the letter to the Colossians, sometime between 61 to 63 AD. And Onesimus, okay? Hindi po yan yung, ano, yung barong, no? Onesimus is the subject of this letter. Okay? He was one of the messengers by whom this letter to the Colossians was sent. Kung titingnan nyo po, nasa Colossians 4, 7 to 9 po yan, no? Colossians 4, 7 to 9. And Philemon, the recipient of this letter, was a member of the church at Colossae and a very hospitable member of that church. And it is possible, my dear brethren, that he was one of Paul's converts when he preached to Ephesus. It is also reasonable to conclude that Apphia was his wife and Archippus, his son, in Philemon verses 1 to 2. And Onesimus had been one of Philemon's slaves. Nasa verse 16 po yan, who had run away from him. Sa verse 15, it appears that by God's divine appointment, mga kapatid, he somehow traveled to Rome, eto pong si Onesimus, where he found Paul and was converted to Christ in Philemon 10. And that he had become very dear to Paul and he was proving to be very useful in the ministry of Paul in Rome, even if he is in prison, in Philemon 11 to 13. But you see, Paul did not think that it is right to keep Onesimus in Rome even though he is useful to him. So he decided to send him back to Philemon in verses 12 to 14. So this letter essentially is an appeal to Philemon for him to receive Onesimus, now no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, and for him to forgive Onesimus if he had done anything wrong. Makikita po natin yan sa Philemon 15:21. So, yun po, no? Now, what are the purpose of this letter? So, from the content of this epistle, we will see that Paul had both a primary and secondary purpose. Una is primarily to secure the forgiveness of Onesimus, but also to provide himself a place of lodging after his release from imprisonment. So he is anticipating that at some point he will be released from prison. Okay? What is the value of this letter? Mga kapatid, Philemon is the third shortest letter in the Bible. In fact, it's only 335 words. But it is such a valuable epistle, okay, that was described as that tells us the model for Christian courtesy. It also tells us the manifestation of Christian love, okay? And it also tells us that a monument of Christian conversion. Okay? It is very short, and yet it is so useful, no, for us. That's why maybe the Lord, Holy Spirit, deemed it necessary to preserve it for our benefit. Ito pong letter ni Paul kay Philemon. And the key passage there is found in verses 10 to 11. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to me. So let's now go to our message. Mga kapatid, Philemon exemplifies for us the kind of service that the Lord wants us as we grow in our Christian walk, as we mature in our spiritual Christian lives, mga kapatid. In verse 4 to 7, yung binasa po natin kanina, it describes Paul's endearing positive perception of Philemon. And here, Paul says he thanked God for Philemon, as he always do, mga kapatid. Paul praises Philemon's selfless act of love, his generosity, especially towards his fellow believers in the Colossian church. And this is meant for Paul as a to set the stage for his upcoming request. And what is that request? That Philemon forgive and finally free his runaway slave na si Onesimus. So in this passage, mga kapatid, dun po sa passage natin 4 to 7, Paul commends Philemon. And I want us to see three characteristics of the exemplary service of a maturing believer in the Lord. So ano po yung mga characteristics na ito? Exemplary service is driven by love and faith. We will see that in verses 4 to 5. Exemplary service is driven by love and faith. Second, exemplary service is driven by a desire for the salvation of others. We will see that in verse 6. Exemplary service is driven by a desire for the salvation of others. And then third, exemplary service is driven by care for others. In verse 7, exemplary service is driven by care for others. So let us see and check the first characteristics or characteristic. Exemplary service is driven by faith, by love and faith. Let us read verses 4 to 5. Verses 4 to 5. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Mga kapatid, my dear brethren, this morning, when people think of us, do they thank God because of our faith? Do they thank God because of our faith? This is what Paul mentions in this letter. He is thanking God because of the faith of Philemon. Mga kapatid, we are to recognize, we are to praise our fellow believers every now and then. Di ho ba? Agree? Do we do that? This is an act of trying to encourage them. Okay? And we must do this to one another. But you see, perhaps the highest praise a believer could have given a brother was claiming to personally thank God for him. Do they thank God because of your faith? In verse 4, mga kapatid, Paul says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. As in the example of Philemon, my dear brethren, Paul did not withhold this praise upon him to encourage him. So something that we should do in a regular manner for one another, di ho ba, mga kapatid? Can you tap the balikat of your katabi and say, you know, I thank God because of you. Sige na po. Thank you for your presence. You know what? Even your presence encouraged me. Di ho ba? We need to do that every now and then. And Paul's prayer for Philemon to continue this way. Yun yung kanyang panalangin. For you to continue this way and perhaps grow even further in what you are doing for the Lord. You see, Philemon was known for his generosity toward Paul and other believers. In verse 5, we read the traits Paul considered specially in Philemon. Paul heard from Rome about Philemon's love, about his faith in the Lord. And this love here that Paul used, the word love, is the word, the Greek word agape. Okay? We know this, right? Agape means a selfless, sacrificial love focused on the good of others. And here, this love and faith focused on two main areas. Saan po, mga kapatid? Dito po sa sulat ni Apostol Pablo kay Philemon. This love and faith is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and to all the saints. You see, this is the third mention of Jesus in just 5 verses. One of the 6 times Jesus is mentioned in just 25 verses of this short letter. And in all 6 cases, my dear brethren, Jesus is called Christ, Lord, or both. Paul repeatedly emphasized the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. Mga kapatid, ito lamang po ang nais kong sabihin. We serve God through the church because of our love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself up to die on the cross to save us. You see, the virtues that knit our hearts in the bonds of sacrificial love and generosity of the Christian faith finds its sole object in the Lord Jesus Christ, mga kapatid. Let me just repeat that. The virtues that knit our hearts in bond of sacrificial love and generosity of our faith, our Christian faith, finds its sole object in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the source and the foundation of goodness and nobility of character is faith in Him. Siya po ang sentro ng ating paglilingkod, mga kapatid. And then we find the term saints. In the New Testament, saints does not mean or refer to a special group of exceptional people. We are not exceptional people, mga kapatid. We know this. But the term saints refers to every person with true faith and are saved in Jesus Christ. This term sometimes translated as holy ones, holy people. And Paul, in his letter, he considered all Christians as saints. Di ba? Gandang tunog nun, di ba? Saint Rolly, di ba? Or Saint Gary. Mga kapatid, kung ikaw ay mananampalataya sa Panginoon, as far as the Word of God is concerned, you are called saint. Ayan. So, referring to the Christians at Colossae as saints, 4 times in Colossians chapter 1. Tingnan po natin, for example, Colossians 1, 2 to 4. Sabi po ni Pablo, no, sa kanyang sulat, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. So, this means that the saints mentioned here in verse 5 are the believers of the Colossian church who met in Philemon's house. If you see verses 1 to 2, for example, if you read that, it says, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow workers, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and the church in your house. My dear brethren, our service of God through the church must also be driven by love for our fellow believers. Why? Because our love for our fellow believers is the truest visible expression, as it is the direct and necessary result of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just repeat that. Our love to our fellow believers is the truest visible expression, as it is the direct and necessary result of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to do an honest assessment. Am I serving my fellow believers in the church? Because it is the direct and necessary result of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saying, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not serving your fellow believers, then your claim can be put into question. Why would I serve? Even though at times it will entail me my time. It will entail me my resources and even personal comfort. It is because of love and faith in Christ and love for His people. That is our motivation, my dear brethren. Because God, when He saved us, He wants you and I to be the channel of His care, to be the channel of His blessing towards His people. Amen po ba? Amen po ba, mga kapatid? Exemplary service is driven by our love towards Jesus Christ and towards our fellow believers. Second characteristics of exemplary service. This service is driven by a desire for the salvation of others. This service is driven by a desire for the salvation of others. Let's read verse 6. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So here, my dear brethren, Paul again mentions prayer. Sabi po niya, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. And here, my dear friends, if you're going to take a look at this verse that we have just read, he is asking God for effective evangelism, the sharing of faith by Philemon. And this was such an important emphasis early in this letter, mga kapatid. And here, Paul's grounds for asking Philemon to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus, is the fact that Onesimus had become a believer. Someone who got saved through the gospel. And that this brethren or this brother could fulfill his God-given purpose even more effectively as a free man. During their times, mga kapatid, slaves, when they ran away, it is punishable by death. And what Paul is asking here of Philemon is not easy. It is not easy. Okay? Because during that time in their culture, if you are a slave and you run away from your master, if you get caught, it is punishable by death. But Paul is asking, okay, Philemon to forgive Onesimus based on the fact that Onesimus is now a believer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that he can fulfill his purpose, his God-given purpose, even more effectively as a free man. The word full knowledge there is a reference to spiritual maturity. And this maturity is said to be regarding every good thing, stressing a mature knowledge about all areas of life, both in the physical and spiritual aspects of life. In particular, my dear brethren, full knowledge requires growth, maturity, and development in one's Christian walk. And this is an important point from Paul. He is about to ask Philemon to perform an enormous act of forgiveness and free his runaway slave. The slave, Onesimus, had returned along with Paul's letter. Try to imagine this. Okay? Try to imagine this, di ba? You run away from your master, and then Paul give you a letter, okay? And then you go back to your master knowing, di ba, that you could be punished with death, no? So imagine to you yourself in the shoes of Onesimus, di ba? And even Philemon, okay? So Paul's request is not a small thing, my dear friend. And then, mga kapatid, listen to this. The reference to Christ can be translated as for the sake of Christ, or for Christ's service, or even for the glory of Christ. Please forgive Onesimus. Yung po yung sa, to that effect, yung sinasabi po ni Pablo dito. So this highlights Paul and Philemon's mutual role in serving Christ together, both in personal growth and in proclamation of the gospel, in evangelism. My dear brothers and sisters, every believer is called to grow in the Lord and to share Jesus with others. Paul and Philemon had different spiritual gifts, but were part of the same body, the church, committed to serving the Lord and fulfilling the Great Commission. For instance, let me just read that. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Brethren, as you grow spiritually in the knowledge of matters of life, your desire should be for the salvation of others through the proclamation of the gospel. And it should be growing intensively and consistently sa buhay po natin bilang mga mananampalataya. Exemplary service is driven by the desire for the salvation of others. So what do? You go for training about evangelism. Get a good grasp of the gospel so that you will have the confidence and boldness to share the gospel. Pray for an opportunity. And God will give you opportunity, I can assure you, to share the gospel. Be deliberate, my dear friends. Because we don't know how much time we have. Amen po ba? There are so many people that we know that are still unsaved. And it's so fearful, no, to know that if they die without Christ in their lives, they will end up in hell. And it's all for eternity, mga kapatid. As you grow in your Christian walk, you would want others to know Christ. You would want others to be part of His church. That is exemplary service, mga kapatid. And then, the third characteristic of an exemplary service is this service is driven by utmost care for others. This is driven by utmost care for others in verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. In verse 7, my dear brethren, Paul refers to the same love, that sacrificial love he mentioned in verse 5. And as I mentioned to you earlier, this is from the Greek word agape, a sacrificial love focused on others, which Philemon had previously shared with Paul by supporting him and other believers. And this genuine concern of Philemon gave Paul joy, comfort, and even encouragement. That's why Paul mentioned of refreshing the hearts of the saints. And it included most probably both spiritual encouragement and his financial generosity. Philemon, who hosted that Colossian church in his home, dun po sa Philemon, verses 1 and 2, makikita natin yan, and had helped Paul in the past. Philemon also influenced his own family, as his wife and son were considered faithful followers of Christ. Though we can surmise that Philemon was unlikely an elder or deacon in the church, his faithful service to God and others was highly commendable. My dear brethren, this morning, his service to God that I've been mentioning throughout the preaching, this service that I've been mentioning throughout the preaching must be seen in a practical sense. As people see our testimony, as people see our lives, are their hearts being refreshed that they cannot help but praise and thank God because of us? That's the question, mga kapatid. Do we strive to live out the Christian life as God intended to be, so that when people see our testimony, their hearts are refreshed, that they cannot help but to just thank God for this brother or sister? At this point, Paul was suffering in a Roman prison, yet he mentioned that the testimony of Philemon was refreshing. It was encouraging to him. The testimony of Philemon had been a joy and comfort for that languishing, abandoned prisoner in Rome. So the question is this, my dear friends and brethren, and does our service to God through the church include spiritual encouragement for the needy souls, or even financial generosity for the needs of the church? Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, our service must be driven by our utmost care for others. And that includes the needs of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7, it is the end of Paul's early praise of Philemon. In the next verses, he will now make his plea for Onesimus to be forgiven and be freed from slavery. And just as Philemon had blessed Paul and the Corinthian church, Paul anticipated that Philemon would similarly bless Onesimus. Exemplary service is driven by utmost care for others. As I wrap up, my dear brethren, my conclusion is longer than my outline. You see, my dear brethren, at some point in our lives, we were once Onesimus. Amen? Running away from God, entranced with the things of this world, and entangled in sin. Amen po ba? Amen? Bound for eternal destruction, hopeless and helpless, unable to change the fatal course of our lives. Yet, by His divine intervention, God rolled out His eternal plan for each of us, and that at a certain point and time and place, we would hear the gospel. And through His grace, He would enable us to respond in repentance and in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were rebels against Him in full sympathy of His enemy, the devil. And thus, we were aliens and strange from God. But you see, God foreordained us for adoption through Jesus Christ unto Himself in accord with the benevolence of His will. My dear brothers and sisters, we lavishly receive the full mercies of God. This plan accords with the entire narrative of the Bible, which keeps us cycling around the theme of man's flight from God and God's pursuit for you and for me. And that this plan, God's plan, will bring us into the most intimate relationship with Himself. My dear brethren, He will not merely make us servants or even subjects, which in fact would be a terrific privilege. No, hindi lamang po tayo servants nor subjects. We are now called sons of the Most High. Reconciled to Him, adopted into His family with full rights and privileges. My dear brethren, we are all recipients of God's immense love, lavish grace, and undeserved mercies. Ano po ang tugon natin doon, mga kapatid? What is our response? This truth should drive us to serve God in and through the context of this church, my dear brethren. And as we grow in our spiritual maturity here in the church, our service of God, just like Philemon, must be driven by love and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and for other believers, and this burning desire for the salvation of others as well. This love, this service, must be driven by selfless care for others and for this church as well. All for the glory of God who created us, who loved us, who saved us, and brought us to His church. Amen po ba, mga kapatid? Hindi na po kayo nag-i-amen, di ba? None of us, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning can ever tell how far the blessing of our acts of kindness or our selfless care and service for others can go. None of us can say that or can tell that. They may benefit some in physical and material ways, but the impact, listen to this, but the impact of our selfless care and service for others may reach many in a tangible, profound, and even eternal ways that we cannot imagine. My dear brethren, Philemon may never dream that his small act of charity to some suffering brethren in Colossae would find its way to the sea and bring so much joy and comfort and refresh that suffering prisoner in Rome. What I'm saying is this, our service unto the Lord, no matter how mundane, how simple we might think it is, because God is faithful, He will always honor it. Amen po ba? Just like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Brother Bicoy preached on this. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wala pong sayang sa ating pong ginagawa para sa Panginoon. Amen po ba? Neither Paul nor Philemon dreamed that the same transient act would find its way across the centuries and would inspire us contemporary Christians in our day. The Holy Spirit made sure that this was recorded in the Bible as an example for you and for me. What a loving God we have, mga kapatid. My dear friends, that is the path ordained by God for us when He saved us, to serve for the testimony of the gospel and for the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ here and for all eternity. Amen po ba? Can we just look for a partner and then whatever takeaways that you have from this short preaching, please discuss. And then later, I will ask the worship team to lead us dun sa kanta mamaya. Yung last song kanina. Okay? Can we put our prayers into completion po? Before we end in prayer, can we just worship the Lord once more with our last song, kanina? Can we all stand up?
Shall we all rise? Thank you, Lord, that you are our hope, that in you alone, Lord, we can entrust ourselves. Thank you for the preaching, Lord.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song.
Let's pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we can never thank you enough for what you've done, Lord of God. Although you are such a holy God, totally apart from us, Lord of God, you made a way for us to be reconciled with you by giving your all, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become man like us and die the shameful death on the cross of Calvary to save us, bearing all our sins. And that when he rose up from the dead, he secured our future with you. Oh Lord, you gave that multiple mercies that necessitates our salvation, Lord. What a gracious and merciful God you are, Lord of God. And so in response, Lord of God, to this lavish grace that you have bestowed upon each one of us, in response to this, Lord of God, let our service be exemplary before you. Service that honors you, Lord of God. Service that is driven by our love for our Lord Jesus Christ and for our love for our fellow believers, Lord of God. Love that is a service that is driven by our desire for the salvation of others. And love that is driven, and service that is driven, Lord, by our utmost care for others and for the need of our church, Lord of God. Father, Lord, we don't know how much time we got. Lord, help us, enable us, Lord, to stand on your promises, Lord of God, so that, Lord, we make the most of the remaining times that we have in this life, Lord, to serve you to the fullest, Lord of God, in and through our church, so that our lives would be a blessing, Lord of God, for others, lives that are lived out for the glory of you, Lord of God. Burn this message, Lord, in our hearts. Accomplish your purpose, Father, in each one who listened to this message, Lord of God. Let your name be magnified and be glorified, Father, in the results of this message, Lord. Lord, as we give our tithes and offering, Lord, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to give back what is due you, Lord of God. And so thank you for touching the hearts of your people. And we ask, Lord, that whatever proceeds, Lord, of our tithes and offerings, it shall be used, Lord, for the furthering of your cause through our church, Lord of God. Thank you so much, Lord. We bring back all the glory and honor to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. God bless po.